This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
8 past 12, Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, Laura Oakes with the news. Here until 3, Twins and the best team in baseball, the Rays tonight. I believe that's a 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock pregame, 5:40 first pitch. Always a pleasure when the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, is kind enough to join us. The mayor of Minneapolis is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And you can get to the Nicollet Mall part within this answer. I certainly have questions for you, but I want to just share, I would say, three conversations I have had recently with friends about downtown Minneapolis. And I've said this, that downtown Minneapolis during the day, you know, 8 a.m. to 5 a.m. or 5 p.m., excuse me, I don't feel concerned about my safety at all. I then said there are parts at night, there are more parts of downtown not as safe as it's been. And yes, police needs to be a part of it. And I got strong pushback from individuals who I don't think are downtown nearly as much as I am, but some do come downtown. So let's start this part. For the folks who believe that downtown Minneapolis is not safe during the day, and I massively disagree, but what do you say to those folks to try to convince them to come down?
You and I, Chad, are on the same page on this one, and I also massively disagree. Downtown is a safe place to be. And, you know, there are times when perception meets reality. There are times when perception is wildly out of whack with reality. And for those that are not coming downtown on a very regular basis, I'm here every single day, by the way. The numbers, they speak for themselves. Violent crime is dramatically down right now. Shootings in this last month citywide were lower than they were even before the pandemic. The month of May was lower than 2018 and 2019, which, by the way, were two of the best years on record. Look, are we there yet? No, of course not, but we're making serious progress. And I think people need to, we all need to be looking at the facts. And, you know, of course there will be anecdotal incidents that happened. Of course, bad things will happen in a big city occasionally. That is absolutely the case. And we have a whole lot of work to do. Nobody is denying that. But I feel pretty good about things because we're on the right trajectory here as we lead into the summer. And we've got the right partnerships in place. Just this morning, you know, we were meeting with our huge partnership of law enforcement, prosecutorial individuals, from the U.S. Attorney's Office to Hennepin County Sheriff's to all of our excellent police officers. And, you know, I think there's a feeling that the relationships and the partnerships that we've created are better than they've ever been. But we just need to keep that movement going.
But do you believe now when we get to downtown in the summer at night, it's still uncertain, right? Because this is a time when we get more people down there, June, July, and August. And I still hear from many of my friends who either live downtown, who are out and about at night, or have businesses who are concerned that enough progress hasn't been made in certain areas downtown. And there still are more places downtown at night which aren't as safe as they once were.
If people are saying more progress needs to be made during downtown at night, I would full-heartedly agree. We do need to keep making progress. And, you know, you're going to see a pretty substantial shift this summer on some plans that we're rolling out in the area of the entertainment district. I don't want to sort of reveal too much before we unload the whole plan altogether, but, you know, we've got plans.
You could give us a little bit here.
I can give you a little bit. I mean, you know, basically we're talking about creation of an area or a district where there'll be a focus of resources, a whole lot of programming and activities. We've got broad buy-in from a whole bunch of major entities throughout the city to make this not just a safe place, but like an awesome place, somewhere that you're going to want to hang out with. You're going to want to hang out for an extended period of time. You know, and I know you Chad, hang out in downtown in the evening. So
I do.
So do I. You know, it's a routine thing for us. And I mean, what I would encourage people to do is, you know, don't take your neighbor's word for it. If you're living out in the exurbs somewhere, do it yourself. Come down, check it out, experience it. And hey, you know, if you experience a negative time, then certainly that's the truth, and you can say that. But if what you're seeing is a real positive trajectory for the city, then say that too. You know, what I'm feeling is a comeback. A comeback does not mean we are washing our hands clean and we're done. It means we got a lot of work left to do. But look, the numbers, the trajectory is very clear.
So this entertainment district, I know you can't give me everything, but is this First Avenue? Is this near First Avenue, near O'Donovan's, near the Loon, that part of town are we talking?
Generally, yes. You know, that's the area that we always focus on when we talk about late night entertainment district activity throughout the summer. So I don't think it's a really much of an announcement to tell you we're going to be doing some work in around the Loon and around the light rail stop there in the warehouse district. You know, something else is I think we're going to have a much broader, and I will tell you this now, we are going to have a much broader and deeper focus on the warehouse district, even beyond the evening hours. You know, I think it's kind of a big link between North Loop, which is obviously having a boatload of success. I mean, it's like nobody in North Loop even got COVID. And downtown, where it feels sometimes like everybody got COVID.
Yep.
And if you can, one of the big things is that warehouse district, those buildings, they're old and they're historic, a lot of them. Those historic buildings are ripe for conversion based on the layout of the floor plan and the way they're set up. Many of them can be converted to an alternate use, whether that's residential, which gets more people on the street, or that's open collaborative office style, also can get more people on the street. We can have all sorts of activities that you wouldn't have even thought of that are in the warehouse district. And so I think that's going to be a focal point for a real serious plan of change.
So let's talk North Loop. I'm glad you brought that up, because to me it's been amazing throughout this that North Loop, and I'm glad, don't get me wrong, it's in an area that I really, really enjoy, has almost been sovereign territory, right? The businesses have stayed great in that area. Crime has been very low. And you would love, and so would other people, myself included, who are down here a lot, would love that to trickle over to the rest of downtown. How can you try to duplicate what continues to work in the North Loop area to other parts of downtown, warehouse district included, which isn't having that success?
Great question. If you think about what North Loop has that downtown central, I'll call it, does not have, it's a diversity of use. When I took office as a city council member back in 2013, what we said is in North Loop, we want everything all together. You know, we want entertainment, restaurants, commercial, office space, even light industrial. You've got everything from like real high-end office space to strip clubs, you know, and when you have that amazing diversity of use all in one place, you have people that are on the street throughout the day and even the night. You got someone who's going in to do the night shift. You got someone who's pushing a stroller, someone who's going out for a run, someone who's going to the bar. And with that, you've got this constant inflow and outflow of people through the space. You got more eyes on the street. Safety improves. And the people watching is great. People watching is awesome over there in North Loop. And that's kind of like, you know, living in a great city. That's what it's about. And so if you move that over to downtown, what does downtown not have? What they do have is a whole lot of office space.
Mm-hmm. Empty office space, too.
Is not used right now, correct. Yeah. You know, we're upwards of 65%, you know, but we're not going to get back to 100%. We'll probably get to, I don't know, 75, 80% occupancy. And what are we going to do with that remainder space? And my answer is, we still have high demand for housing. People want to live in a great city. Let's provide housing. Make the shift from commercial to residential in some of these buildings. Let's have more of an organic, flexible use as to what people want to use the space for. And that's part of what we're moving towards.
Okay. If I take a short break and you hang with me, because I'd love to talk more about that, Nicollet Mall and some other matters.
To.
Okay. Let's do this. I want to get to number text, too, because a lot of people are chiming in with a question or comment for the mayor of Minneapolis. Jacob Fry is with us. We're back in just a couple minutes on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Before we get back to the mayor, you want to explain the music theme today?
This is the first of three artists we're here. We'll hear it today. All born on this very day.
All born on this day.
The first one, 1917. Dino.
Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm. We'll also hear from a 1940 and a 1958.
Okay. Look forward to that. We continue with the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry. Okay. How far away are we, Jacob, from a large, formerly business office where, guess what, the folks who are renting it, they don't want to be part of it because their employees aren't coming back. So you then can work with a company that wants to bring more residential living downtown, and all of a sudden a building that I always thought of as a commercial place is now a residential place. How far away is that, and how difficult is it?
0 days in terms of how far away we are. It's happening literally right now. And difficulty is significant. The building where it's happening at right now is North Star East. It's just a few blocks away from City Hall, closer to the core of downtown. It's an older, relatively historic building, and they're converting it to a combination of a market rate and affordable housing. So it's happening already. We're encouraging and we'll be incentivizing other building owners and developers who have that kind of structure set up to do the same thing. To your second question, how difficult is it? Depending on the structure, it can be tougher or easier. For buildings that are built, and I'm not going to get too technical here, but for buildings that are built after World War II, like those tall, largely glass skyscrapers, they don't work that well for housing because you can't open a window. Nobody wants to be in a place where you can't get any fresh air. And the floor plate, for reasons that I don't fully understand, also don't work for residential. But the older buildings, like I said, in the warehouse district, another example, they're really conducive to switching over towards residential. You can open the window. You know, maybe you don't need to move the sinks as much. One of the big parts is moving it from a whole bunch of toilets in one room, like a office-style bathroom, to a toilet in every room. And that's not an easy thing to do. So is it hard? Yeah, it is. But, you know, this is part of a shift that I think needs to take place inevitably anyway. This whole concept of remote work was going to happen, but it got expedited by 5 to 8 years by a global pandemic. And so we're having to react faster, and we're working through it right now.
Mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, is with us. Okay, as we discuss your idea about the Nicollet Mall, which is still making a lot of news today, is it fair to say that the renovation of Nicollet Mall, which took a long time, and cost a lot of money, didn't come close to living up to expectations?
I think the world we're living in now was unexpected. And I think that, you know, we'd be having a different conversation if we did not go through a global pandemic, and there would be a different downtown dynamic right now if we didn't do that. And I would also agree that, you know, we're going to have to shift beyond the shift that was made 8 years ago through the Nicollet Mall redo. I would also acknowledge that, you know, one of the things that we looked at when we did the Nicollet Mall was the bus service, and whether to have, you know, a fully pedestrianized mall or to have bus/automobile service on it. And, you know, I think that there's a big opportunity here. Do we have all of the logistics worked out at this moment? No, we don't. You know, we got to figure out exactly the busing routes. We got to make sure that the buses aren't queuing into an intersection. There's a ton of stuff that we have to work out. How much of Nicollet Mall is closed and when and what are the rules and how, you know, all that needs to get worked out. But there's a lot of incredible world-class pedestrian malls in major cities throughout the country. And when you're walking down them, it's a whole different vibe. And I think, for instance, Minneapolis could have a pedestrian mall that is the best winter street in the whole world. You know, you could do it up with just an incredible amount of obnoxious lights. You could have Christmas trees lining the whole street, and even Christmas trees that people could decorate themselves, and kids could come down and decorate it with their family and friends. And I mean, I'm just sort of pulling those out of nowhere. Those are just random ideas. But like, we could have this incredible destination where you don't need to worry about getting hit by an automobile or a bus. You can just experience a tremendous city and be right in the middle of it.
How far away is that? Is it the entirety of Nicollet Mall? And what convinces you most that you can get a number of businesses either to adapt what they're doing if they're already on Nicollet Mall, or a number of businesses feel like enough people will be downtown where we want to go and set up shop right there on Nicollet Mall?
That's the chicken or the egg equation that we're all dealing with right now. And so what we're trying to do is provide the kind of programming that shows that this mall is an incredible destination. And we want to show examples as early as even this summer of how this could work. We've got Taste of Minnesota that is not just coming back to Minnesota. It is moving to Minneapolis and specifically Nicollet Mall. You asked about areas that are most immediately available for shutdown or to automobile or bus traffic, or areas that we could best use. You know, I think one of the great areas to look at is the, I guess, kind of the north end, or I should say the riverside of Nicollet Mall, where Nicollet hits Washington. You've got what is called Cancer Survivors Park on one side, which is a really beautiful park that nobody ever uses. I remember as a council member, I was like eating a pastrami sandwich up there, and people were looking at me like I was doing something wrong or illegal. But it's public. And then across the street, you got the Four Seasons Hotel, you've got RBC Plaza, you've got a whole lot of activity. Now, if you were to connect those two, suddenly you've got this beautiful open plaza slash park space. You could put in a roller rink, you could do ice skating there, you could have big concerts, you could have a sort of amphitheater set up. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that you could have going on. And it could just kind of be the regular, where you're not really sure what's going to be happening, but you wander down to that particular public realm space just to hang out, and every single time there's going to be something happening. So we're looking to set this up where you shut it down for a matter of days or a couple weeks, just to, well, both to show people that hopefully it is in fact successful, but also as a trial run for us to see what does work and what does not work. And you know, I want to just let everybody know there are portions of this that I think will succeed. There are portions that will probably fall flat on our face. You got to try it, though. I think that's what we got to move towards right now. And obviously, we'll do the work ahead of time, so it's more of the former than the latter.
All right, two last points with about 4 minutes to go. Again, we had another incident where a 12-year-old kid is driving a car with other kids in the car, a crash, robberies before it. We had the date as of April that about 2,300 cars had been stolen in Minneapolis. And I know Kia and Hyundai are the majority of these cars, and they have responsibility also in this. But the criminals are the main culprits. And we've had your police chief on many, many times. And he's talked about, we got to change things so these kids aren't just going to wherever they're brought in to be arrested and then just leaving right away. What can you do as mayor, number one, to slow down the number of stolen police cars, and then to put more teeth in the laws so even when they're juveniles, they're not just walking out the door right away?
Sure, yeah. I think you meant stolen cars generally, Chad, not stolen police cars.
Yes, I said police cars. My mistake, yeah.
Yeah, no worries. The So I want to distinguish something for just the audience that I'm sure probably most people know, the difference between a carjacking and a car theft.
Yep.
Carjackings are dramatically down right now. Car thefts are not down. And these car thefts that we're seeing, as you pointed out, are disproportionately both Hyundais and Kias. In fact, I think it's like more than 50% at this point, which is an unbelievably ridiculous figure. And yes, to your point, they're getting stolen by really young kids. I mean, my first emotion is just sadness. You know, that's, you know, I mean, I was, when I was 12 and 13 and 14, I would have been scared out of my mind to get behind the wheel of any car because I'd get in trouble, let alone steal one. And, you know, we need to make sure that these kids have love and care. And at the same time, we can't let them do this. And, you know, we have had in this state and elsewhere facilities before, locations where they could get the necessary care that they needed, and at the same time preventing them from doing that kind of thing again. Yeah, I think we need that. And again, I'm not an expert on these kinds of juvenile crimes and how you care and rehabilitate and reincorporate, you know, but clearly that needs to happen. And what the chief is saying is dead right.
But the punishment has to be stronger, right? I mean, I get rehabilitate. I get that it's a 12-year-old compared to a 32-year-old. But when the same kids, when Brian O'Hara is on this show saying, we're seeing the same kids multiple times coming in and they're just walking out the door, something is wrong, along with something's wrong with how they've decided to do this in the first place.
Yeah, when a kid is in some form of detention center that I was referencing, and by detention center, I mean detained.
Yeah.
I'm certain that they would view it as some form of punishment occasionally. But I think the less important part, the more important part than punishment, is that while they're there, they're getting the care. You can't just throw a kid in a prison, obviously.
No.
Right? And I don't think anybody's suggesting that. But what we do need is, a narrowly tailored, specifically tailored, I should say, a facility for young people that are, yes, continuously committing these occasionally really horrendous crimes. And so, of course, there needs to be accountability there. But I think the more important thing that I think everybody should be able to agree on is we can't just have a young kid. Well, we can't have anybody, any person, doesn't matter how old they are, repeatedly hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
Or putting
yes.
others in danger. And we all should be able to agree on that.
I appreciate the extended visit. Thanks for coming on. We'll reach out again soon.
You got it. Thanks so much, Chad.
The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, you can react anytime you would like on the City's One talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Traffic, weather, we'll look at some of your texts, and our friend Rena Sargentopoulos is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.